Lord God, we love you, we bless you, we magnify you, we adore you, we place none other before you. God, we come before you as humbly as we know how. I come before you as humbly as I know how, asking you to be inside me, be inside of my mouth, my mind, my heart. God, let everything that I say be pleasing in your sight. Let everything that I say be effective and equip those that hear, Father God. I ask for you just to be inside this place, be inside this presence, God. You get all the glory out of everything that is done here. We thank you so for our life. We thank you for our health and our well-being and our minds and the use and activity of the faculties of our limbs. God, we're so grateful for yet another chance just to come before your presence and to come before your people, to share your heart with those people, God. God, I ask you just to, I hide myself under your shadow, under your wing of the Almighty, so that you may just cover me like never before, cover me and shield me and protect me, and let your words go forth like never before, God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning. God bless you, City Reach. And the world, thank you so much again for joining with us. I am so honored and so grateful that you thought in our robbery to spend some time with myself and my church and my family. And we're grateful that you had the opportunity, that you chose to share with us. So we're going to jump right on in and continue on with the series we've been going on. And this God has been having on my heart and sharing on my heart is this marked series. About how we've been marked for greatness. We've been marked or we've been anointed to do great things, not for our own glory, not for our own benefit, not for our own blessing, but to be a blessing to others, those that we come across. We've been anointed, we've been marked to do great works and do great exploits that God designed for us. When we were, before we even born, he had us in our minds. He had us marked for glory. He had us marked for greatness. And so we're going to continue on with this series called Marks. Maybe this might be the last week. And if not, maybe God might move you to somewhere else or something different. But I'm just thank you for joining with us. So we talked about how David was marked. He was anointed to be king over Israel at the time when Saul was still in charge. But Saul had sinned and fallen from the glory of God, and David and God had rejected him. But God had another person in mind. God had another king or person or man after his own heart, and that was David. And when David was brought before Jesse, he was anointed to be king over Israel. Then he went back into his father's sheep, to tend his father's sheep, and spent time there, building up his integrity, building up his resume, and building up his record and his track record, not just for himself, but for God's glory, so God can prove himself in him and through him. He had spent some time alone, spent some time back in the wilderness, some time back dealing with sheep and not doing kingly things, but doing godly things at the time. And then we talked about last week when he showed his true self and showed his potential when he went and killed Goliath, you know, the 7-8-foot giant, and cut his head off. And it, from then on, people were like, wow, you know, David, now Saul slays his thousands and David slays his 10,000s. David was such a mighty warrior. And then we're going to continue on where towards the end, after that, David became king over Israel, and he was one of the greatest kings that Israel had ever had, not because man had chosen, because God had chosen. And that just shows you something. Sometimes we are doing things, we are maybe employed or maybe doing businesses that we've chosen, doing careers that we've chosen, we thought was a good idea, or our family thought was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. It wasn't God ordained, and it's not just a good fit. It's just like, it's work. And it's not what you're calling. And so sometimes we have to realize and take a step back and evaluate our careers and take a step back and evaluate our standing and what we're doing for a living, what we're doing with our livelihood, what we're doing. Are we going towards our destiny that God designed for us? Take a step back and say, you know what? Is this a good idea? Or a God idea? Is this ordained by God, or is it something that I want to do for myself? Or something my family chose for me, or something my mother wanted me to do, my father wanted me to do? I'm following in their footsteps, or I'm following after God's footsteps. And so David fulfilled his promise, fulfilled his calling, and his fulfilled his destiny. He was marked to be a king, and he was a good king. He had his flaws, he had his, you know, setbacks, and he had his sins and things like that. But he was still a man after God's own heart. No matter what he did, he still took a reset and got himself back together with God. And that's another thing. You may mess up. You might fall. You may slip. You may mess up. You may have setbacks. And it's one thing we always say, we either win or we learn. And at those times, those lessons that we might consider mistakes or problems can actually be turned into our testimonies and our tribulation can turn into those things that God can bring us through. And if we just take a reset and get our minds right and get ourselves back and reset back with God and be a realignment, you know, and we'll go back to what God has called us to do and walk in that path that God has ordered us. Amen?
Amen.
So towards the end of his kingship, towards the end of his life, you know, God had ordered David's steps and he did his best to walk in them. And God had allowed him to build a palace and to build a place for him to reside. But David wanted a place for God to reside. He wanted to build him a temple. He wanted to build God the greatest temple in the world. But he really couldn't do it because God said, because you had blood on your hands. He was such a warrior. He didn't want the person that had blood on his hands to build his kingdom. But he wanted it. So he wanted his son to follow in his footsteps. He wanted his son to do what God has called him to do. He wanted to, because God had promised him that his son would be following his, if he followed in his footsteps and did what he commanded and followed the orders and the laws of that was set before him, he'll forever walk in his way. And one of his sons will always lead the children of Israel. So what David did, he left a mark. He left something for his son to do. He's left not just an order, not just a design, not just a desire or wish, but he left them with instructions. He left them with everything that he needed. He left them with equipment and people to communicate with and the people to partner with to build that temple that God, that he wanted, he knew God wanted and knew that God desired. So what David was marked, but he also is marked to leave a mark. He was marked to leave, not just take it with himself. And he was okay, I was a great man and I'm on the way to the greatest kings, but I want to leave something behind. I want to leave a mark. I want to leave an anointing for my children to follow. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings, the second chapter, starting with the first verse. It says, at the time of King David's death approach, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I am going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. And if you do this, then the Lord will keep the promise he made to me. Because he told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on a throne of Israel. So this is David's last charge and last decree and last wishes, if you would, his final will and testament before he knew he was about to die. And he charged Solomon with a task. And he charged Solomon with responsibilities. But he also charged Solomon with a promise that if you do what God's told you to do, if you obey his laws and his decrees, you will be blessed. You will remain on the throne. And it's just the same thing with us. If we do what God has called us to do, if we follow his laws and follow his decrees and do what God wants us to do and do what God desires for us to do, we will walk into our blessings. We will walk into our destiny. There's no good thing that God will withhold from you for those who trust in him. Yeah. And all you need to do is trust him. Even when you can't, like I said, trace him. even when you can't see him around. But know that God is always there. Follow his precepts. Follow his plan. Because God's plan will never fail. And God's plan for you will never fail. Amen? Amen. All right, so that. David had other sons and daughters, and I'm sure, and there was a big, you know, there was a conflict going on, and because one of his sons, Absalom, wanted to take over the sons, and another one of his sons wanted to take over the throne and try to put himself in charge, but God and David had anointed Solomon to be king. His brother tried to try to usurp the throne, and God said not so. David said not so, and they went and anointed Solomon to be king. And so when David was to die, he would follow in his footsteps and follow in David's footsteps. And we know Solomon grew up to be a great and mighty king and a wise king because he had wisdom. He chose the wisdom that to be his portion. So not only did David choose Solomon to follow in his footsteps and to build the temple of God, build a place for God's glory to dwell in, because at the time all they had was the ark, a temporary stage, a temporary dwelling. But David wanted to give God his best. And so he charged Solomon with that. And not just Solomon, I want you to do this and build this kingdom, but he gave them instructions. He gave him plans. He built, he had all of the ingredients, the gold, the silver, the bronze. And he had the people that would build the ark and build the establishment. He had the people that would come with the timber. He had the different nations that were going to come together and work together with him to build this temple. He had it all worked out. He had it all laid out. Imagine if you would, your father or your mother was to tell you, I want you to build this house when I die, when I leave here. And I want you to do this and build this church or whatever. And they just left it that, and it's left up for you to decide, or you to desire, or you to do it. And you may not have the ability, or you may not have the wherewithal or the knowledge how to do that. But imagine if you would, if he had somebody said, I want you to do this, and I'm going to leave you Chip and Joanna Gaines and Mr. Shiplap. And Holmes on Holmes, the Holmes guy with the tool belt, and they're gonna come and work with you. You don't have to lift a finger. You don't have to think about what to do. They already know what to do. I've already told them I've already paid them.
Yes, come on now.
All you need to do is at the time, just plot it out, and you just oversee, and let the people that know what they're doing do what they're doing. A lot of times, I just thought about that. A lot of times we get ourselves into so much trouble, into so much hassle, into so much problems, extra worry, because we're doing what we haven't been trained or we haven't been called to do.
Come on, yes.
We're doing too much.
Yes.
We're trying to do what everybody else is doing. Chipper Joanna Gaines is doing this. I could do that. Holmes and Holmes is doing this. I can do that. And you don't know what a hammer from a nail, or a screwdriver, a flathead from a Phillips, or you don't know the difference. Do what you're called to do.
Yes, come on.
And let those that are anointed, that are called to do those things, do what they're called to do. I would love to be a singer. If I was a singer, I wouldn't talk. I would be singing every note that came out of my mouth, but I'm not. So I'm just going to talk. I'm just going to do what I've been, you know, until I run out of words. And there's the limit. So David left not only Solomon with a charge, or he left him with a plan and preparations and a purpose. And he left him with what we call a legacy. He left him with a mark, with a plan. He gave him explicit instructions, which can be found in First Chronicles. We're not going to go through all of that because it goes on and on for chapters and chapters. We're going to do some excerpts. First Chronicles, the 22nd chapter. I'm going to start from the 14th verse. And this is David says, I have worked hard to provide materials to build the temple of the Lord. Nearly 4,000 tons of gold, 40,000 tons of silver, and so much iron and bronze that it cannot be weighed. Think about that. I have also gathered timber and stone for the walls, though you may need to add more. And you have a large number of skilled stonemasons and carpenters and craftsmen of every kind. You have expert goldsmiths and silversmiths and workers of bronze and iron. Now begin the work, and may the Lord be with you. Just imagine that. Just being set up for greatness. It's one thing to be set up for failure. It's like you go to school and you get an assignment. I want you to work with, get you three people, and we want to do this social experiment. And I want you guys to all gather together, either virtually or physically, and come up to, in a month, I want you to come up with a social experiment, and you each play your part. Ready? Go. And you got to find three other people, you know, especially like in college, and you don't know everybody. You don't know their skills. You don't know their traits and their personalities. You don't know how hard they work or if they work, because some kids go to college and they just skate on through. And so you end up being one doing all of the work. And then, you know, about a month later, you know, you're waiting, trying to get together, and, you know, and you're going to wonder if you're, because it's a group assignment. And if you all don't do your part, you all fail. So imagine that pressure. But imagine on the flip side, I said, all right, I want you to do the social experiment, and I want you to meet with Oprah Winfrey on this side, Will Smith on this side, and Holly Whaley on this side. All right? And gather together and collaborate and come up with something great that each of you already know something about and how to be your best self and live your best life, you know? And all I got to do is sit back and say, okay, I think that's a good idea. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. And all you got to do is put it together. Or just like, you know, collaborate. It's the difference. Yeah. Right? So Solomon was placed in the place that he was destined for greatness. He was set up for greatness. He was a setup for greatness. And so David, what I call David, he left what I call a legacy for Solomon to follow on and to follow through. And there's a difference between leaving a legacy and then leaving an inheritance. An inheritance is something that is a monetary that you live to leave to your loved ones when you die, like money or deeds or stocks or homes or cars. But that's actually subject to taxes. It's subject to liens. It's subject to other things that you didn't take care of while you're alive. And so the money that you leave for your children or you leave for your whoever are subject to the government gets that before you get that, the kids get that in. And sometimes there's infighting and people get jealous or want to sue for that and sue for that and sue for this. And they want this and they get jealous of the different things. And it's because it's a finite thing. You only have a certain amount of money or inheritance or gifts or cars or homes that you can leave to your loved ones. It's a finite number of items or intangible goods or tangible goods, because there's a value placed to them. And a legacy is something totally different. A legacy is those memories and those lessons that you left, not just with your loved ones or the ones in your immediate family, but those that you come across. You might meet somebody on the street and you just give a word or just give them a smile, and they'll remember that forever. Forgive me, kids. I started watching TikTok. Help me, Lord. And go down rabbit hole. Help us, Lord. So I saw a TikTok where this couple left a random note with it says, God bless you. And inside the note was $100. And they were just going to leave it on a random person's car on their windshield. And just going to view it and see how the response. Makes sense. That's a good idea. Just kind of, you know, just sharing the wealth and, you know, each one reach one kind of thing. So they left it on this car. And the woman that owns the car comes from a shopping area. And then she sees the letter. She sees the money. Oh, my God. And the people that are taking the video are like, wow, all right, let's follow her. And she didn't get in her car. What she did was she went, looked around and started walking somewhere else into the parking lot. So they followed her. What's she doing? Where is she going? She put it on somebody else's car. I guess what had happened was she probably saw whose car it was. And so after she put it on her other person's car, she left. And so the people that initially left the money are just viewing, what did she do that for? And here comes this woman with two small kids, a toddler and an infant. She opens up this letter, sees the money, and just looking around, it's like, what happened? And then looks up towards heaven, it's like, thank you, and starts crying. That is a legacy. That's something that lives on, because what happened was the money is finite, but the memory that the initial couple felt lives on with them forever. Lives with me, because I saw it. Anybody that watched that TikTok, it lives with them. It just passes on. That's what a legacy is. It's intangible. It's something you can't put money on. You can't put value on. An inheritance is what you have, but a legacy is who you are. And who you are repeats decade after decade, and some life from inheritance down to some legacy down to generation down to generation. But inheritance is just lasts until it's used up. But a legacy lives on forever. Amen? And so now we even know who David is because of his legacy, not because of inheritance, because we call them the children of David. Hmm. Right? Yeah. I'm a child of David. I'm, you know, seed of Abraham. I'm a child of David. And they even have the David, the Davidic star. It's like, because that's a legacy. It's a lesson. It's a memory that they cling to.
Yeah, that's good.
Right? So that's what God marked David, not just for his own greatness, but for legacy, for generations to come. And he marked his descendants down for generation to generation. If you look in Psalms, the 132nd chapter, 11th and 12th verse, it says, the Lord swore an oath to David with a promise he will never take back. I will place one of your descendants on the throne. And if your descendants obey the terms of my covenant and the laws that I teach them, then your royal line will continue forever and ever. And so his legacy lives on forever and ever. And God wants to do the same thing with you. He wants to leave a mark, not just for you, but you want to leave a mark in you that you can leave a mark in others.
Yeah.
And be like, you know what? I don't even remember his name, but I just saw this guy and he was just like, he touched me. And I don't want to do wrong anymore. I want to do what I want to live like that. I want to be blessed like that. I want to do what he's doing. I want to get the results that he's getting. May not even know my name. I hope I leave a mark with somebody. That's all we want to do, is be able to leave a mark with somebody. And even though you might make mistakes like David did, or you might have setbacks and slips and falls, and like your tree, may not even, your family tree might not be a tree, but a stump, because it's been cut off, but it's not dead. Your family tree might have lost some limbs, but it's still going to live on. It might have like been cut, like your limbs might be cut off, but it may not be, they're not cut off. They're actually, they're just pruned to make it grow stronger. And so, like I said, you may not have a trunk, but you might have a stump. But God's going to do great things through your stump. through your legacy, even though your tree might not be the greatest that you might think it to be. God can do great things in and through you if you let him.
Yes, yes.
Isaiah 11 chapter says, this is out of the stump of David's family. It wasn't even the full tree. It's called the seed of Abraham, the seed of Jesse. It's out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot. Yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. He will delight in obeying the Lord. And you know that fruit that boils down to, that's the promise of the Messiah. That's the promise of the Messiah, means God, Emmanuel, God with us. That's the promise that God made through David, to David, that through his lineage, through his loins will be the Messiah will come, the new king that will follow after me. It will not just be king of Israel, but he'll be a king of the world. And that's Jesus. And God promised him through David that this, through your line, through his lineage, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will be here and will be a savior for us and a savior for the world. And so just like God called David to leave a mark, God calls us to leave a mark as well. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and to lead us and guide us and we into all truths, we may slip, we may fall, we may not make all, we may not dot every I, cross every T, we may not do everything explicitly correct or right, but if we just do what God's calls us to do and then when we mess up, just get back up and repent and go back to God and just like David, I've fallen and I need your help. I need you to follow after you and just keep doing what God's called you to do. You will leave a mark that this world will be like, will never, you'll leave a mark that'll be great and leave a mark that'll be precious and powerful. You may not even get to witness your mark, but you will leave a mark. And I promise you, do what God's called you to do. You will leave a mark.
Yes.
Even when David left and then he was about to leave, he commissioned or he told Solomon what he wanted him to do. Jesus did the same thing with us. When he lived his life down here, he worked his miracles. He raised his dead. He set the blind free and cast out demons and went to the cross and died on the cross and came back and showed himself. He left his promise and his charge to you and to me. We call the Great Commission. Matthew, the 28th chapter, it says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yes.
So just like David left a charge to Solomon, God, and Jesus leaves a charge to us as well.
Yes.
Go and make disciples. Go out into all the world, into all nations, and just spread the gospel, spread the good news that Jesus came. That Jesus is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he loves you so much that he wants to invite you into his kingdom. He wants to invite you into his family. He wants to invite you to come in and let's be all just do what God's called us to do together. Share the good news that God loves them. Share the good news that God, Jesus died for them and came for all of us, and he wants to do great things in and through all of us. Because here's the thing. When it's all said and done, who's going to tell your story? And what are they going to say?
Jesus.
That Keith. He was crazy, little something. Yeah. He's a good guy. Yeah. He can make you laugh. You don't want to sit next to him in a funeral or somewhere. You have to be serious.
That's the truth.
Because my intent is to make you laugh and get you in trouble. I'm just telling on myself. I'm just repenting. That's the truth. And the truth gonna set me free. Come on now. So when it's all said and done, who's gonna tell your story? Because somebody is gonna tell your story.
That's right.
Will it be all good? Will it be all bad? We don't know when, but we know we will leave this earth. And what's gonna be our story? What's gonna be your mark? Who's going to tell your story and what will they say? Just think about that. And if you're not happy with what they might say about you, you got time to get it right. And it starts right here, right now. All you need to do is you try it your way. And for whatever reason, some things worked and some things didn't work and might have got some failures and setbacks, but you can start right now and to do over, and you can do what God's called you to do. All you need to do is the one simple step, accept Jesus into your heart. Just that simple. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And we come to this three, the ABCs of salvation, just how we come to know Christ and allow him into our hearts and the Holy Spirit to live in us and dwell in us and make us do good things and not do bad things. ABC to salvation. You want to A, acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." ABCs of salvation. Acknowledge, believe, confess. Let's pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Listen, I want to communicate with you. I want to get in contact with you. I want to partner with you. We can work this thing out together. I need you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, the word is all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Thank you so much for joining with us. I'm honored and I'm grateful and I'm glad you took the time to share your time with us. I love you guys. God bless you. Have a great day.